What's up, everyone? This is the Hillside Ventures podcast. I'm Shiva Mutsell here with a very special guest, Cole Clark. So Cole is the president of Amygda Launch and is the company that I worked at this past summer, a part of Loeb NYC. And kind of before we dive into his journey, his background, I'll just have Cole briefly introduce himself.
Hey, guys. My name is Cole Clark. I serve as president of Amygda Launch. I work for Loeb Enterprises, which is the investor. So I've been doing that for the past almost 2 years. And aside from Loeb and Amygda Launch, so I started off as a neuroscience major, biology minor at the College of William & Mary, where I ran track for 4 years. And I'm also a model with Wilhelmina in New York and Miami.
Solid. Thank you, Cole. I mean, it's been great getting to know you through the summer. You know, not only working with you, but being outside of the office, being able to, you know, do different things and experience different things. For example, you know, helping me meet different people, kind of working out together. I think that was a really cool experience. But before kind of diving into like Loeb and Amygda Launch, super curious to see how you've kind of thought about your background, like STEM in general. How has that helped you navigate the entrepreneurial world and the world of startups?
It's a great question. I think, you know, initially I had no idea what I wanted to do when I went to school. I thought brains were cool and I needed to pick a major. So that's why I picked neuroscience. Yeah. But now that I've been out of school and working for, you know, since 2019, I've realized a background in STEM is hugely valuable because, you know, it teaches you how to think about things. And the way business is currently, I don't think people can exclusively be personality hires anymore. I think you need to have some foundation, at least a foundation of your thinking in the scientific method, in understanding things quantitatively, because we're collecting more and more data, especially with the rise of AI. It's super important to be data literate. So, you know, you don't have to be super technical, but I think having a high level understanding of how to quantitatively analyze a problem is, you know, it definitely serves young people well when they enter the workforce.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, being data literate is, and even coming from a non-technical background, it's still super helpful to at least have a decent foundation at the end of the day, just to be able to communicate with the more technical people. And I think seeing you work this summer, I think you portrayed that perfectly. Like, obviously you didn't have the biggest background within like coding and kind of things of that nature, but you were able to learn the foundations of it. And through that, through working with other, you know, the more technical people on the team, being able to learn the extent of it and be able to go further so that you're able to do the work on your own and kind of communicate in a way that things actually are getting done and you're able to take care of the things that are needed as well. So I thought that was super cool. And that's something that I've taken as a lesson in terms of wanting to learn that stuff myself, not just so that I know it, so that I can help others, kind of communication aspect, leading a team, et cetera. So kind of with that, I mean, from neuroscience, biology, STEM in general, kind of pushing you into entrepreneurship itself, like what kind of made you interested in the whole other side? So you were interested in brains first and kind of picking a major. So like what kind of pushed you in to the entrepreneurship side of things?
Since I was a kid, actually, I've always had a knack for inventing things. Like I had a little notebook where I would just draw machines and then throw propellers on them randomly and call it an invention. And I think that was kind of an entrepreneurial spirit was instilled in me through my parents. And, you know, my father specifically tends to think about things in a very similar way. I also tend to be a very independent person. And so I think that has something to do with it as well. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the communication between technical and non-technical people. Because from what I've seen in operating in the business world, you know, you kind of have two personalities. You have people who are very charismatic and, you know, they tend to be on the sales and biz dev side of things. And then you have your technical people who, you know, they think in a very high level of detail. And so sometimes there's a lot of friction between the two groups. And, you know, a lot of it is because the technical people aren't provided the time and space they need to portray their thoughts in the level of detail that they, you know, in which they think. And then on the flip side, the non-technical people have a really good grasp of the strategy and the overview and what customers want. And so when you're building a product or you're trying to find product market fit, I think it's really important to have that person that can sit in between them and create the time and space for the more technical people, but also direct, you know, resources and efforts to cater to the larger business strategy. So I think if you can be that connector, you're in a really powerful and influential position in the business world.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, that's a crucial part. And like I said, I think you do an amazing job doing this. So do you have kind of your take, your expertise, your advice on how someone can kind of go about catering both to the technical side and communicating with someone who may not have any knowledge of the space, kind of in a lack of better words, dumbing it down for the everyday person?
So when you're in school, you're learning how to think, right? You're not necessarily learning the skills that you're going to be using every day. You know, more technical fields, yes, you will be. However, when you get into the real world, I think that's when the day-to-day learning occurs, and you should never stop trying to hone your skills and, you know, increase the breadth of your knowledge. And so for me, that materialized as, you know, a necessity to learn SQL, because that was part of my job. I had to deal with, you know, be able to extract the data that I needed to analyze. But also, you know, I paid one of our engineers on a weekly basis to teach me the basics of Python. And so I think going out of your way and being intentional about leveraging whatever resources you have at your disposal. And right now there's a huge amount of open source educational material. So I think it really comes down to the individual curiosity and making sure you never get complacent with your skill set, because technology is, you know, it's expanding, its capabilities are expanding at an exponential rate. So you need to be able to get up to speed on the foundational aspects of whatever technology you're dealing with, so that you can, you know, speak in an educated way about it. And I think being able to do that and being intentional about consistently learning new things, that should never stop for anyone. And as soon as it does, I think that's, you know, it puts you in a very risky position from a career perspective.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so kind of going off of that, how do you balance learning these kind of more technical things versus leading the company and kind of thinking more long-term growth-wise, bringing in new business, kind of things of that nature, balancing those two different aspects while also, like, you know, trying to grow yourself and your own personal goals? Like, how do you manage kind of all of those different types of things?
It sounds like a cliche, but, you know, the old saying is start with the end in mind. And I think that is more important now than ever. Whether it's where you want the capabilities of business to be in the future or what your goals are 5 years from now, I think knowing what you want and then orienting yourself in that right direction on a day-to-day basis is key. Because the most influential component of anyone that leads to success, or any undertaking that leads to success, is consistency. And so I think you should always be making your day-to-day decisions with the end result in mind. And obviously we all have urgent things, we get caught up. So there's a component of not being too hard on yourself if you didn't achieve everything you wanted to do over the course of a day. But over time, if you know, you're making small decisions on a consistent basis that contribute to a larger goal or vision, eventually you're going to get there. And the other piece of it is resilience. You know, there have been numerous studies that show resilience is one of the main determinants of success for a person, both personally and professionally. And so I think, you know, to be able to be resilient in the pursuit of achieving that goal or vision is also super important.
Couldn't have said any better. I mean, resilience and consistency is at the core of entrepreneurs. I feel like relentlessly going after a goal and kind of not stopping until it's done is kind of where I think what I feel entrepreneurship is at the end of the day, if you want to actually make that difference, make that impact. So I guess this would be a perfect place to transition, kind of talking about Amygda Launch, running a company at 26, such a young age in the eyes of almost everyone in the world. I mean, running a company is no easy feat, and especially doing it so young is also a very proud accomplishment. So kind of thinking about consistency and this pursuit of being relentless and figuring out what to do, even though, you know, we might not have as much life experience as some of these more seasoned entrepreneurs, so to say.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at age as a barrier. And I think it's becoming less and less important. I think in larger organizations, obviously there are more guardrails around, maybe not guardrails, but there are more, it has more structure around, okay, when you're this age, you get this promotion, right? Banking, that's very common. But I think for young people, we grew up with, you know, an ever expanding universe of technology. And so we've gotten really used to seeing a new thing, learning how it works, and then trying to implement it in our day-to-day life. And I think, you know, ChatGPT is a perfect instance of this, where it is a tool that we can use, and it unlocks a lot of doors for a lot of people. It makes us more efficient. And so I think, you know, our generation has this amazing capacity to say, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. And what that leads to is being able to take advantage of opportunities that we otherwise wouldn't have, you know, previous generations wouldn't have leveraged. So I think that's, that's highly important. But I also think, you know, being intentional about how you spend your time. Again, it goes back to knowing what you want in life. Once you know what you want, you learn to recognize the opportunities that present themselves. And when you recognize those opportunities, you can either take advantage of them or let them pass. And so part of it is also having the confidence to say, I don't know, but I'll figure it out, kind of on a larger scale, and really committing to something, right? Like seeing something through is a trait that is highly valuable and respected across generations. And so to be able to say, you know, I'm going to work on this challenge and come up with a solution, but also be agile and shift according to what you need to do to accomplish that goal is, I think we really have an advantage because we grew up in an environment where that is so valued and we learned how to do that from such a young age.
Yeah, I love the point you made about the figuring it out mentality. I think that's key when you want to be able to, you know, go into whether it be the startup space, venture capital space, whatever space it may be, you need to solve problems at the end of the day. And being able to have that mindset where I'm just going to figure it out, depending on where your goals align, I think is super important. But another thing that you mentioned that I kind of want to dive a little bit deeper in is like figuring out what you want. What do you think is, what was your approach to kind of help you better decide what you wanted? Because I feel like it's something that everyone struggles with mm-hmm. in some capacity throughout their lives. Some people figure it out pretty early. Some people don't really figure it out at all, so to say. And so just wanted to get your take, your perspective on that.
Sure. I don't want to get too deep on you here, but I think it comes down to like your core values. So really being in touch and thinking intentionally about, you know, what type of person do I want to be? What traits or characteristics do I value in a person? Set aside achievements and accomplishments for a second. I think it starts there. And a great resource that I had when I was in school was my sports psychologist, his name is Kelly Crace, and he has a program called Life Values Inventory, and it's oriented exactly that way. And so once you really are in touch with your core values, then you find ways where you express that on a day-to-day basis. And so that leads to, you know, being able to set concrete goals about achievements, that your milestones that you want to hit. And it allows you to orient your day-to-day life towards making decisions that contribute to achieving that goal. But I think it all starts with, you know, really taking the time to understand yourself at a very deep personal level, and then figuring out how you express that effectively with other people.
Well said. I mean, it is very difficult to more holistically give advice, but I definitely appreciate your take on it, kind of what you've learned through your journey to be able to find out, you know, what it is, like what my purpose may be. So I definitely appreciate that. So kind of with the point of, I think this is what you're alluding to, is kind of being that younger age has kind of been somewhat of a superpower, so to say. Like, it's kind of helped you kind of get ahead of trends by being part of the generation that's kind of creating them. And so I feel like I want to be the devil's advocate a bit. Like, how has it kind of affected your journey thus far? And like, how has it kind of held you back or provided obstacles on your way?
I think, it's a great question. I think a lot of it has to do, you know, most of the setbacks that I've encountered are, you know, that are tied to my age, is credibility related, right? Other generations look at a lack of, you know, a lack of decades worth of experience as a drawback. And so making sure people understand that you are thoughtful and thorough and consistent and you can follow through on things, I think, is the first step. But it also has to do with how you present yourself. So, you know, when I get on calls with clients, I tend to try to wear a button-down shirt. And it's little things like that where you can subconsciously communicate that, no, you're serious and you mean business and you know what you're talking about. But that doesn't have to be in an ostentatious way. It can also be in, you know, subtle indications of this is how you present yourself, and being able to communicate in a mature way with older generations. But I get on calls all the time with relatively high level people at large organizations. You know, we work closely with large alcohol suppliers. And sometimes it's hard, but it's not something that's impossible to break through. And I think the way to learn some of those softer skills and how you present yourself, the best way is through example. And that comes down to being very intentional about who you spend your time around, and learning through osmosis. Like, what are, you know, people who you respect, who are mentors to you, what are their characteristics? How do they present themselves that lead to your positive impression of them? And what makes you respect that person? Over time, you ingest that information and you start to express it yourself. It's also, kind of fun when you give people something that they don't expect, right? Like, if you come off as a kid, like a younger person, but then you can take people kind of by surprise and also be more mature, knowledgeable, understand and empathize with their situation, I think you can very quickly flip the age thing in your favor, take people by surprise and show them all the good things about your, all the assets that are you have access to through your age.
With not only your age, but your experiences in general, what are some like major opportunities or really any opportunity that you've been able to get like opened up to you kind of as you've moved farther up?
Sure. It's a great question. I think I've been lucky in that I have been presented with a number of opportunities, but I think it comes down to putting yourself in the right position and being very intentional about how you spend your time and energy. And so I was lucky in my experience as a student athlete. I learned to adhere to a schedule. I learned, you know, how to take care of myself, how to allocate my time properly. And I've always said, my, you know, one of my biggest assets is that I can take more BS than most people, speaking to the point of resilience. So I think, you know, to be able to be very clear about what you want and your goals, and to be able to, you know, follow through on the commitments that you make to yourself, it leads to a number of opportunities. And I've also been very lucky because I get exposure to a bunch of different groups of people between modeling and business. And so I think also being open to making connections with new people is hugely important, and also being open to new experiences. Because you never know what they might hold. And I think regardless, you know, the more people you have in your life where you have a good relationship with them, the more you have a support network around you. So you're not just reaching out to people when you need something, right? I think building authentic relationships with people, for the sole purpose of connecting with another human being is, you know, it's an invaluable skill to have. And I think other people's experiences teach you as much about the world as your own.
For sure. I mean, opening up opportunity or just having authentic relationships at the end of the day, you might not get anything transactional out of it, but that's fine.
Exactly. No one wants a transactional relationship anyway.
Exactly. And I feel like that's where a lot of students might get tripped up on, is thinking that they just reach out when they're in a time of need rather than, you know, reaching out just to understand where someone's coming from or just learn more about them, like genuinely. Yeah. And I don't know, it's tough. I mean, there's a lot of things that students are thinking about. As you just mentioned, being a student athlete is very difficult in terms of managing your time and your social life and classes and sports and all that sort of stuff. And I think it'd be cool to kind of get your perspective now, to where instead of being a student athlete, you're running a startup, you're a sports model, you're doing some published work, and obviously you have a life outside of all of this. So how do you navigate that sort of stuff? And like, what have you learned just from that whole collection of experiences together?
That's another great question. God, you're full of them today. I think a lot of people fall into the trap of living for vacations or living for the weekend, and they look at a 9-to-5 job as, you know, the death of all of their passion projects, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's very freeing to be able to, you know, if you can make your daily life something that you enjoy, so you go in and you're doing something that authentically fulfills you at that deep level that we spoke about before, it's invaluable. So instead of having to, you know, categorize your life and say, I'm spending time here and I'm spending time there, you know, the more you can centralize your interests, the better off you'll be, the more fulfilled you'll be as a person. And that's not to say that, you know, you should be loving every day, because every day presents a new set of challenges. But if you can put yourself in a position where you are authentically expressing those core values of yourself on a daily basis, and you get excited about that, then oftentimes, you know, the different pieces of your life kind of, you know, merge together. So you're able to, you don't have to isolate yourself to one bucket or one type of person, quote unquote. You can really bring all of your interests and values together on a daily basis. And obviously you still have to be intentional about how you spend your time. But I think, you know, with more experience and, you know, the more consistently you express your core values, naturally things will kind of converge. So business also becomes, you know, kind of, there's a social element there. And whatever your creative passions, those influence some of your business decisions. And so I think, putting yourself in a position where you're not, you're not neglecting a piece of yourself is hugely important. And then ultimately over time, if you do that on a consistent basis, you're going to be successful with it.
I feel like what I just said, the rundown I listed seems like a dream to a lot of people. Being able to be in the city, fast paced environment, running their own company, being a model, publishing your own work, and just kind of having a fun time there. I mean, you want to put some perspective on it, kind of what might be a downside to all of this, or what have you seen as something that, you know, might not be as glamorous as it might seem?
Absolutely. I mean, rejection is one thing. Sometimes, you know, if you take time out of your day to run downtown for a casting and you don't get the job, it can feel like maybe that was wasted time. Or maybe, you know, if you're trying to get something published or get a deal done, and it doesn't work out, that can be really tough. And I also, like, I haven't taken a vacation in 2 or 3 years, but that's because I like what I do every day and I find it fulfilling. But, you know, I don't like the idea. I think the convention of, oh, you need balance in your life, I don't agree with that at all, because by definition, exceptional performance means you are not average. So the first, you know, prerequisite to being exceptional at anything is being different. And so I think, like, you don't necessarily, if you don't want to go to a bar and, you know, you should spend time with your friends, but like, if bars aren't your thing, don't waste time going to a bar. It's okay if you spend some extra time in the office or some extra time reading about a topic that you're interested in. But I think finding your own version of balance is hugely important. Does that make sense?
It for sure does. And I mean, there's a lot of pressure from outside forces kind of not making you do these things, but putting you in a position where it's much easier to do these things and right. Kind of put your needs in a sense aside, or what you want to be learning. So like you mentioned, like if you want to read about something instead of going out to the bar, I mean, that's a great example for just picking between two different things. One's a social activity, one's more independent. But at the end of the day, it boils down to what you want to do and kind of where your priorities lie. So, I mean, there's a pro and con to everything. And I can personally argue for either or. But at the end of the day, I think you hit the nail on the head there, that if you want to be exceptional, you have to sacrifice somewhat in order to not be average, so to say.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, another element of it that tends to get in the way for a lot of people is self-judgment, whether it be you failed at something, so you're very hard on yourself, or you get FOMO about another thing. And I think recognizing when you're being judgmental of yourself is also hugely important, because then you can get out of your own head and say, wait a second, is this, you know, me talking, or is it other people that are influencing me? And I think if you can be aware of that, then you start to, you know, make better, more authentic decisions for ultimately where you want to end up.
Yeah. I just, to the point of being exceptional and kind of that sense, through your kind of daily routines, your traditions in that sense, what have you feel like are core to you in kind of helping you succeed on almost a daily basis?
Thanks. I'm flattered. I don't know if I would say that necessarily, but I think, you know, a couple of components are taking care of yourself. Planning ahead are huge. Like, I've gotten in the habit of laying out my clothes for the next day, the night before. So you know, you roll out of bed, you put your clothes on, bags are already packed, and you can get out the door. I think fitness is a huge part of my life. And obviously, you know, you came with a workout to work out with Strauss, and he's a great example. But I think, you know, making sure you're taking care of your body, that contributes to taking care of your mind too. So doing that on a consistent basis. And I like to go in the mornings too, because I find I'm much more efficient if I start my day early and get a workout in. And then I think, you know, making sure you block off time for not urgent things is also hugely important. So there are always going to be a million fires to put out, especially in a startup environment. But understanding what of those things are life or death, or like an existential threat to the business, versus what are things that need to get done, but you know, you can maybe do the next day, or maybe you can do them later in favor of making sure you take care of, you know, other potentially more impactful action items that aren't necessarily as urgent, is hugely important. But I think it all comes down to planning, organization, and every day trying to get a little bit better at that. And, you know, whatever way you can eliminate noise and remain focused, I think that's, you know, that sets you up well.
Yeah. And that workout that Cole mentioned definitely kicked my ass. And that's something that he starts off almost every morning with. So I give props to that.
Thank you.
But kind of speaking on planning, organization, kind of ending on this note would be, what have you kind of been able to reflect on as you're working on Amygda launch for these past couple of years?
You know, I think one of the benefits, and the company has undergone a number of changes, but I think on a daily basis, you know, I reflect on my experience in the previous iteration of the business and what we've learned from that. And I think that's, you know, being able to reflect on the past and, you know, past mistakes is hugely valuable, because then you can build a holistic understanding of whatever the problems are that you're trying to solve and what works and what doesn't. But also I think reflection goes hand in hand with gratitude. So, you know, being ambitious and being thankful for what you have, those aren't mutually exclusive. You can do both. So taking a couple of minutes out of your day to think about, okay, you know, here's where I'd like to be, but also, you know, I did my best for this day. That's enough. That's all anyone can ever ask from you. But I think being honest with yourself about whether or not you're putting forth 100% effort is also hugely important. There are some days where, you know, I get frustrated and I'm like, I should have done more today. And I reflect on my shortcomings, but I've learned that it's very important to also look at, you know, on my checklist for the day, what are all the things that I did get done? And, you know, what are all the things that I didn't expect I would be able to do, but was able to execute. So I think, you know, giving yourself credit where it's due, but also being critical of yourself where it's needed is you know, it's a valuable combination to have.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. I feel like more generally, just to make sure you're staying sane and not going crazy over the minor details of things that you might have wanted to get to but couldn't, and just kind of taking a step back and just being grateful for what we have at the end of the day, I think is a great point. Yeah. That's it from me. Do you have any parting advice for the audience, or just kind of a message that you want to share with the world?
Well, first, I want to say thank you to you. You were an amazing intern. You're an amazing person. And thank you for having me. I think, you know, I'm here as a resource for any young people who want to, you know, any young people who are looking to break into the business world who have questions. So don't hesitate to reach out via email, on social media as well. But I think, you know, definitely be curious, be intentional about how you spend your time and resources. And nothing's that serious. Like we in the United States, we have it pretty good where we don't have to worry about our, you know, our existence on a daily basis. You know, think about Ukraine. So I think like taking a step back is hugely important. And I hope other people can learn to be grateful for what we have and take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to them.
For sure. Thank you for that, Cole. I mean, it's been great having you on. I definitely miss being in the office, working with you and kind of being a part of Amygda launch. Hopefully I can, you know, make a difference sometime in the future and kind of come back and say what's up to you guys. Hopefully Absolutely. Next summer.
Visit anytime.
Yeah. Be great. We'll for sure make sure that happens. But audience, lastly, if you guys have any questions or ideas about the podcast, please feel free to reach out. I'll make sure everything is linked in the show notes. You can stay updated with us through this podcast, our Substack newsletter, and our social media at Hillside Ventures. But with that, we appreciate your time and listening to the Hillside Ventures podcast. This was Shivam Patel here with Cole Clark, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.